Kara Pallone of KOTO News joins me now to talk a little bit more about this story. Hi, Kara.
Hi, Austin. Thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for joining us. It's taken a few weeks for details to be made public in this case. Why is that?
Well, the bodies of these two girls were discovered September 8th, and almost immediately the affidavit was sealed. Although I've never really been able to determine what agency or entity requested that it be sealed. The DA's office says it never opposed the unsealing or requested it in the first place. The sheriff's office says the same. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation is also involved. But finally, we teamed up with the local newspaper, the Telluride Daily Planet, and decided to officially request the unsealing, thinking of it as sort of a power in numbers thing. And we drafted an official letter, and much to our surprise, about a week later, the judge ordered the affidavit be unsealed. So it's still heavily redacted, and there are plenty of gaps in the story still, but it's definitely more information than we had. And with a case like this, you can imagine the rumors and misinformation that's been circulating. So it was kind of a relief to be able to at least report the basic details.
Speaking of the basic details, right after this happened, the suspects were rather hard to identify. They were under aliases. What made them so hard to figure out who they were?
Well, Austin, as you mentioned, they were initially identified under aliases. And as District Attorney Dan Hotzenthaler said, it's not like these people were carrying debit cards and driver's licenses in their back pockets. They were living under the radar, off the grid. They're a mixture of nationalities. Two are Haitian nationals. One is from Jamaica. One is believed to be from the southeastern United States. And then, of course, there's the Norwood man. But with some of them, it was really difficult to obtain their records. And we still don't really know exactly how or why they were in Colorado. We do know how they ended up on the Norwood property.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about that. What brought them to the Norwood area in particular?
That's one of the, I think, more bizarre details of the case. As I mentioned in my, you know, my story, as I reported, that there was sort of a spiritual or religious aspect to this. Some people are using the word cult. But there was a main central figure in this case. Madani Seyous is her name, and she's from Haiti. And she deemed herself this group's spiritual leader, and she referred to herself as Yahweh and Amma. And apparently this group of travelers was in Grand Junction, and they met with Frederick Blair, who owns property in Norwood, and Madani Seyous told him that they were searching for Saint Michael, and they had identified him as that person.
They'd identified this man they met in a parking lot, it sounds like, as Saint Michael.
Yeah, gas station outside of Grand Junction. And so they somehow convinced him, I guess, or he offered to take them back to his property in Norwood and let them stay there a few days. They could park their cars there, and that's sort of how they all came to be on the farm in Norwood.
Now, that is according to his affidavit. Is that correct?
He was the primary person interviewed in the affidavit. And I'm not entirely sure why that is. I think that it does mention that none of the other suspects wanted to speak to authorities. There is a small portion, a small interview with one of the suspects, Nathaniel Ashford, I believe his name is. He was also identified previously as Nathaniel Yah. So Nathan Yah. So the names are sort of getting mixed up because now, you know, they've identified them again under their real names. But so Frederick Blair was kind of the main person who was interviewed, and it's pretty much his testimony in the affidavit.
This is the third murder case in San Miguel County in 40 years. How is the community reacting as more details of this case come out?
Well, I had, you know, Sheriff Masters, he's been sheriff for almost 40 years, and he said that this is the third homicide case that he's worked on during his tenure. So it's had a pretty significant impact on the sheriff's office. As you can imagine, it takes a lot to manage the case, make the proper assignments, coordinate the agencies that are assisting the sheriff's office, make sure all the records are maintained properly, make sure the inmates are cared for in accordance to law, and given full access to their legal representatives. And the jail can only house about 30 people total. So, you know, with this number of people, five people, that takes up quite a bit of space, and they can't have them intermingling with each other. So that portion, that's sort of like the impacts on the county. As for Norwood, the community of Norwood, I don't know how much people know about this community, but it's a really small, rural, ranching community. And when the news first broke, Carrie Andrews, she's a well-known member of that community, she's the library director, she said a lot of people had feelings of guilt over this because they didn't know it was happening in their own backyard in this small community. But as time went on, they recognized that there was no way that they could have known that this was happening, and it's not a bruise on Norwood. It's not indicative of what they stand for, or the direction the community is moving, or any of that. It's a tragic incident that happened in Norwood. But it has raised dialogue about issues they know are happening that need to be addressed, she said, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Looking forward to hearing more about those issues as time goes on. Kara Pallone is news director at KOTO Community Radio in Telluride. They're one of our collaborators. Kara, thanks for talking to us more about this.
Thanks, Austin.